It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, Larry Richard with Paul Rasmussen. Our top stories, the aftermath of Hurricane Helene. Let's start there, Paul. So much to cover. And so widespread. I mean, we always think of Florida and along the coast, but deeper inland, Western Carolina, Tennessee, Georgia, they've had flooding that they haven't seen. They described some of the flooding, over 2 feet of rain, as a 1 in 1,000 year event in parts of the South.
I mean, we just talked earlier with Elliot Falcione over in Sarasota-Bradenton area, to find out that the storm surge was 10 feet high. Now, think about that. This thing went on landfall, went in on the panhandle of Florida. How many hundreds of miles away is Longboat Key from just south of Tallahassee, right?
Right.
And 10 feet?
This was a massive storm, and it gained strength in a hurry and became a Category 4 when it made landfall in the Big Bend. But then it dumped rain as it pushed north, that caused in the mountain areas in particular this catastrophic flooding that took down bridges and wiped out towns, completely gone. There was a before and after picture I saw of this little town, a mountain town in North Carolina, and literally in one picture you see this almost Norman Rockwell painting of a little town, and in the aftermath of the flooding, there's nothing left. Nothing.
So, by the way, the death toll update just came in. It's now 116 people. To give you some idea of just how widespread this thing is and the problems that people are having in multiple states, in Georgia, the mayor of Augusta, a guy by the name of Garnett Johnson, says the damage to the power lines is so severe it will likely take until October 5th. For 95% of their customers to have their power restored. Listen to what he says.
Reestablishing power. Let me just tell you how difficult it is. I've ridden around this town. I've never seen concrete power poles snap as a result of storms in Augusta, Georgia, not down in Savannah or on the coast.
Wow. Concrete poles snapped.
And
okay.
It will take years for some of these places to even resemble the towns they were as of 3 days ago. It's so overwhelming, it's hard to imagine.
I expected there to be a real mess in the panhandle of Florida and probably southern Georgia there around Macon or Valdosta, you know, but certainly not what we're seeing in South Carolina, North Carolina. My goodness.
And we'll continue to keep you posted, and there will be some ways that we can help. One of the things they're in great need of is just simple bottled water in many areas. We take water for granted, certainly around here.
The mudslides closed many roads in western North Carolina, up there in the mountainous area of the state, and so they're airlifting things in, dropping things by helicopter into people, and also making air rescues as well.
So we'll continue to keep you posted on the aftermath, and unfortunately, there are a couple of storms lined up in the Atlantic, and there is some concern the next one could develop and follow a very similar path of Helene.
And they're talking hurricane by midweek if it develops the way they think it may.
Yesterday, the Pittsburgh Steelers on the road in Indianapolis dropped their first game of the season, and mostly because of their own doing.
That's right.
Including late in the game when the Steelers had a chance to at least tie. I mean, they weren't that many yards away from getting into field goal range to at least tie the game, put it into overtime, maybe get down and score a touchdown and win it. Rookie center Zach Frazier snapped the ball, and Justin Fields bounced off his helmet. He wasn't looking, and that really helped cause the end of what we hope would be a comeback. Zach Frazier talked about it.
Do you start thinking about your timeouts potentially? Football is loose. Fields evading a catastrophe, but they lose a ton of yardage.
So that was CBS's coverage.
After the game, Fields took credit for that. He says, that one's on me.
He did.
Yeah.
And I give him a lot of credit for doing that, whether it was really his fault or not. And he said he should have been looking. He was looking at the defense, obviously.
I think it's Ray Fittipaldo that does the grading of the different parts of the team after each game.
Right.
Like the quarterback gets a grade, the running backs get a grade. The coaches got an F, and I think that's richly deserved.
Why so?
Well, a failure to adapt early on in the game, a lack of blitzing to get at Flacco, decision not to kick a 59-yard field goal, instead giving the Colts the ball back. There were just a number of those kind of, as a whole, it was just it seemed like it was a very inflexible response. It was like, well, we're going to stick with what our game plan was instead of adjusting on the fly.
Oh, so, turning the ball over in the red zone.
Man, that was the killer. That was the reason they lost, in my opinion.
They ended up, they were down 17-0 and still were within 3 points at the end of the game.
Isn't that an amazing job that Fields did, I think? He carried the team, let's be honest.
Yeah, he did. So, by the way, next game is Sunday Night Football at Acrisure Stadium.
Here come the Cowboys.
Cowboys coming to town.
Yeah, well, they're overdue for a good whooping.
All right, people are going to use social media and try to find Lucky.
Oh, man.
The 10-year-old Airedale Terrier, who belongs to William Martz of Donegal Township, who was carjacked in East Huntington, and they found the suspect, they believe, who stole the car and carjacked him. Yep. And what he said, he let Lucky out at a rest stop somewhere on the, headed down there on the coast.
Now, the deputies found this guy and the vehicle, which had been damaged, apparently. There was a pursuit on I-95. He said he'd let the dog loose somewhere between Myrtle Beach and a spot in North Carolina. So Mr. Martz is elderly. He's in his, I think he's 87, right?
Yeah.
So he's heartbroken. He spoke with KDKTV. This is going to be tough to listen to, but let's go ahead.
And to be stolen in the car and going that distance. As far as the car goes, he could have let him go in the parking lot, and I would have been happier. I would have missed the car. Don't get me wrong. But cars can be replaced. Dogs can't. Sorry.
Well, I hope somehow by some maybe social media post, they have the picture posted, the dog, and if they can find Lucky somewhere in the Carolinas there.
I just, I hope that Lucky was, fortunate in that somebody got a hold of him and is trying to take care of him, and eventually they'll get the idea that they know where he goes, where he belongs, I guess. Wow. Your heart just goes out for this guy. He's just as sweet as an old man can be.
Yep. And that's what people are talking about. And the rain, too. And this is actually the remnants of Helene in the region today. And we're going to have a high of just 69 degrees, but off and on rain and drizzle over the next couple of days.
Song about Duke Ellington.
Yeah. And what's interesting about Stevie Wonder's music is that it's so unique to Stevie Wonder. He's one of those artists, the second you hear his music, you know who it is.
For me, I think it would be Superstition.
Well, that's, the one I would say probably overall.
But man, it's tough to pick one. There's so many good ones.
So you could be going to see the show on us, and 7:20 in the next hour, we will do that. Did you happen to see over the weekend, going down the doom-scrolling, this woman who was handcuffed at Disney World or Disneyland in California.
What happened?
So there's a video of a mom handcuffed and being marched out at Disneyland as her two young daughters cried and were calling for help. Now the rest of the story. Despite the heart-wrenching visual, the woman who's 26 is a habitual gate crasher at the park. Mom is an annual pass holder, but authorities say she walked through Disney's gates without tickets for her kids, and that she's expected of having done this at least four times in the past 2 months. The park official said she could stay if she just paid the difference for the kids. When she refused, she tried to come back again and do it again.
Oh, boy.
So they escorted her out, and she is permanently banned from Disneyland.
Nice, nice.
So she had a pass for herself.
Yes.
But didn't pay for the kids.
Right. Yeah.
Which is not an inexpensive thing.
Oh, God, no.
Right, yeah. Definitely
it's
not.
It's almost $200 a ticket.
Right.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah. For one day.
I remember not too long ago, I think we were talking with someone here who had been to a Disney World with his wife and his, I think, three children, and said that the whole package just to get them all in was over $500.
Oh, easy.
Easily, I guess, now.
And then they asked, is this your firstborn? Okay, we'll just keep them. They'll work here now. Come on, man. It's a small world after all.
Mm-hmm.
6-4 Choosing Us, Larry Richard with Anchorman Paul Rasmussen. We'll continue to bring you updates from the devastation of Hurricane Helene and what's happened down south. Unimaginable 2.5 feet of rain in some parts of the Carolinas, Tennessee, Georgia, 10 states overall, and over 2 million people without power. In some cases, not coming back anytime soon.
Larry, right now our rain here extends from pretty much across Washington County, all of Allegheny County.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Northern Westmoreland County, kind of slowly creeping northward.
And yes, this is the remnants, by the way, of that storm with, it looks like another storm brewing in the Atlantic, and we'll keep you posted. Paul, you helped write an editorial about the TSA. And people that bring guns to the airport.
Yeah.
And joining us is Lisa Farbstein, who is spokesperson, strategic communications, public affairs for the TSA. Lisa, good morning.
Good morning.
So we're on track here. 33, I guess, checkpoint firearms catches so far as of last week, correct?
That's correct. That's as of yesterday now.
Oh, okay, as of yesterday. Walk us through what happened. So everybody's in line to get checked, and when there is a discovery of a firearm at TSA, what happens?
So let's just say that the firearm is in somebody's backpack. So what happens is there's a TSA officer who is viewing the X-ray monitor, and if they see what appears to be a firearm, first thing they're going to do is that they're going to leave that backpack inside the X-ray machine, and they're going to turn off the conveyor belt. Then they're going to notify a supervisor. The supervisor is going to come and take an extra look at the X-ray monitor as well. So you've got the double confirmation. At that point, the supervisor is going to make sure that the police are notified. In this case, it'll be the Allegheny County Police. Then they staff at the airport, and they're going to come over to that checkpoint, and they are going to be the ones that remove that backpack from the X-ray machine. And that's because if indeed they determine that it is a legit firearm and say not a replica, we do not want our TSA officers to be in the position of handling firearms, because that's an accident waiting to happen. So the police, again, will come over. They're going to remove that backpack. They're going to open the backpack, and then they're going to be the ones to confirm, yes, it is a firearm. And in about 90% of the cases, they are loaded. And they're going to have the passenger come to the side. So what happens is, until all that takes place, everybody else in that line has come to a standstill. Now, they're going to come to a standstill. Sometimes they are moved to another lane, which is then going to make that lane even longer, that other checkpoint lane. So the police are pretty quick about coming and responding to the checkpoint, but that could be definitely a delay for several hundred passengers. So keep that in mind. At that point, it is really up to the police whether somebody will be cited, somebody will be arrested, or none of the above. But in any instance, the police will be confiscating that firearm. TSA does not confiscate weapons. The police do.
Lisa, I'm curious to know, do you have any estimate on how many passengers on average are delayed when this happens, when you have to shut down one of the lanes at the checkpoint? How many people are delayed? Is this in the thousands in an annual period?
You know, I do not have anything like that. A lot of it has to do with the time of day. So the early morning rush hour, so airports have rush hours just like highways, and their early morning at Pittsburgh is the busiest time of day, say maybe from maybe 4 to 7 a.m. So right now is probably pretty darn busy at the checkpoint.
So if I'm the person with the handgun that's in my bag at the TSA, what happens to me? You said one of three options, that it's the police, their call, right?
Right. So the police will deal with any criminal citations, any criminal, obviously an arrest will be a criminal case. And TSA also will have its inspectors review the incident, write up a report, and then the individual is likely to receive a federal civil financial penalty. Typically, that can run into the several thousands of dollars. In addition, if an individual is in the TSA pre-check program, they're going to get booted out of the program.
Wow.
So there are some other penalties that TSA can impose as well.
That said, passengers can bring a firearm onto an aircraft, but it has to be checked through luggage that's in the belly of the plane, right?
Exactly. You want to transport your firearm for a flight? That's great. No problem, as long as you pack it the right way. And the way to pack it is first, make sure it's unloaded. You'd think that'd be obvious, but oftentimes it's not, I guess. So you want to make sure it's unloaded, that it's packed in a hard-sided case, that case is locked. And then you take it to your airline check-in counter, and they're going to make sure, basically you're declaring you want to fly with your firearm, and then the airline will make sure that it is that is transported in the belly of the plane where nobody has access to it during the flight. And that's key. You want to travel with it, fine, but nobody should have access to it during the flight.
Lisa, we have a problem because the number of guns that are being stopped at the checkpoints is increasing instead of going down. I mean, you've got, even at that last moment at the checkpoints, you've got huge signs telling people, you know, no guns. And still, what has to change for this to stop?
Well, we need firearm owners to be more responsible, and they need to really pay attention to what is in their carry-on bags. We have a saying, know before you go, and by that we mean make sure that you know the contents of your baggage before you leave for the airport, because you are ultimately responsible for anything that is in your carry-on bag or your checked bag. So indeed, know before you go.
All right, Lisa, we appreciate the update. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
And you're probably excited to move to the new airport next year where you'll have expanded service.
Oh, yeah. We're very excited. We are eagerly awaiting the opening of the new airport.
All right. Lisa Farbstein, spokesperson for TSA on the Big K Morning Show. So, Paul, you got the details.
Yeah. It's it's hard for me to... it's hard for me to understand how someone could be standing there with a gun in their carry-on and be standing there in front of a six-foot sign that just jumps out at you that says, this is something you cannot do.
One guy said his wife put it in there and didn't tell him.
Yeah.
Well, so far, 33 confiscations. The record was last year at 44, so we've got 3 months to go.
I guess the word isn't getting out, and so how do we change that? I don't know. And perhaps one thing we didn't get into, at least, and she probably couldn't address it anyway, is it an actual federal crime to bring a gun to an airport checkpoint? And if that were a crime, that could be, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Then maybe that'd be different. Because the fines apparently aren't getting anyone's attention.
They're not working.
No.
6:50 at News Radio KDK, and let's check in with Paul Rasmussen.
Widespread destruction from the beaches of western Florida to the mountains of western North Carolina. We'll have the latest on Helene coming up at 7 on the Voice of Pittsburgh News Radio KDKA.
And let's check in with meteorologist Joe Lundberg at AccuWeather's headquarters. Joe, what devastation over the weekend? 10 states, in fact, the remnants are the rain we're getting now, right?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it's tied with an upper-level low-pressure area that's just not moving. It's the thing that caught it the first time and brought it westward and brought all that devastation to the mountains of North Carolina and into eastern Tennessee. But it's just going to wobble around for the next couple of days. So we're going to get off and on light rain and drizzle, nothing like what they saw down there, but cloudy skies for the next couple of days. Does give way to some sunshine as we get to Wednesday, so improving weather here once we get to midweek.
And what about the talk of potentially some storms lining up in the Atlantic?
Oh, there's several more opportunities. There's an area of disturbed weather in the western Caribbean, and that's going to kind of bleed into the southwest Gulf of Mexico. It's an area that could develop slowly over the next few days, and unfortunately, it looks like Florida or perhaps part of the southeast may be a target. I don't think it would get up into the Carolinas at this point in time, but that's obviously subject to change. And there's more systems that are going to be developing out in the Atlantic. There's one on the verge of becoming a tropical storm. That's likely to become a strong hurricane by the end of the week, although it looks like that would stay out in the Atlantic, and there's probably more behind that one, too.
Joe, I'm concerned that we're heading into the heart of the hurricane season, and we could wind up having a really awful year.
It could be a bad year, especially when you look at what Helene has just done.
That's unimaginable. Joe, thanks for the update.
You're welcome.
And we'll keep you posted here on News Radio KDKA. Coming up, more details on Helene's destructive path through the South. It started in the Gulf of Mexico. And, Paul, when we looked at this storm in the Gulf originally, it was so large, it basically filled the entire Gulf of Mexico.
Yes, it did. And it was over, I believe it was over, they said at one point, the hottest water on the planet at that moment.
That's
the
correct.
Waters in the Gulf were the hottest.
Yeah, to give you some idea, they've had, over the last couple of summers, record temperatures in the Gulf of Mexico, which obviously in the summer is always traditionally warm, but these were most unusual, and that's the fuel that a storm like that uses. And
intensifies over that heat. Yep.
Right. And the Gulf, unfortunately, was on what they call the dirty side of the storm that pulls the water up onto the shore. And you see these videos of the destruction, and then you see the flooding issues, particularly in the Carolinas and the mountains, where it's just cascading, taking out towns with it.
I see in a report that just over the border in eastern Kentucky, for example, Harlan, Kentucky, same kind of terrain. I guess that they have some problems over in far eastern Kentucky as well.
And more storms, as you heard with meteorologist Joe Lundberg, lining up. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.